Drive on Wednesday, November 27th. Starting at 8 a.m., we'll have 24 hours of live programming with your favorite Wednesday regulars and specialty programming from other hosts. Tune in to hear the fun, the chaos, and everything in between while we bunker down with the CFRC Ghost. CFRC's funding drive is now underway and running through December 31st. Donate today and get amazing CFRC prizes. For every $5 you donate, earn a ticket towards one of our weekly raffle draws featuring gifts from wonderful local businesses including Harper's Burger Bar, Hotel Wolf Island, Improbable Escapes, Kingston Canadian Film Festival, KPP Concerts, Long & McQuaid, Martello Alley, and Novel Idea. Enjoy the benefits of donating. Give today via cfrc.ca.
Good evening, beautiful people worldwide. My name is Roy Hamilton III, and you're tuned in to Let That Music Out. Yes, Let That Music Out. You see, we all got a story. We all got a song. We all got a journey. And our job, before we leave this earth, is to let that music out. So tonight we got new music from Miss Morgan Ashley with 2 Minutes Away, music from AJ Manuel with Be With You, and Aura Dawn with Show Me Some Love. Stay tuned.
All I wanna do is to ride, go right up the street into your drive.
Until the day I die.
with you. I love you so, it's true. I don't know what to do. I just hope I'm gonna be with you. Just keep on holding my hand, and one day you'll understand. All I want to find is you. I just wanna start brand new.
Alright, coming up, we're going to have a very special guest, Mr. Ryan Toby, joining us from Medellin, Colombia. He's going to talk about his music journey as a songwriter, as an artist, and give us his perspective on what it's like to let that music out. Here we go. Alright, welcome to Let That Music Out. I'm super excited. I got a very, very, very special guest on today's show for a couple of reasons. One, because I met this brother at the beginning of my career, and he was very early on in his career, although he was a little bit more advanced in his career, but we became instant friends and kindred spirits since then. And since then, as we kind of went our separate ways, I've watched this brother like do amazing things and grow. So without further ado, I want to introduce everyone to Mr. Ryan Toby. What's up, brother? Ooh, welcome to Let That Music Out.
It's likewise. Thank you for having me, man.
Absolutely, man. I appreciate you being here. So I know you're a busy man, so I'm going to get right into my questions because I know people are going to want to know some things. So I'm going to start off with Ryan. How did you get started in music with your career?
Oh, man. 30 years ago. That's crazy to say that number out loud. So yeah, 30 years ago, I started very young, about 14, 15, I'd say. And I was just, you know, regular kid from a regular town, South Jersey, Willingboro, New Jersey, small town, about 20 minutes outside of Philadelphia, about an hour and a half south of New York City. And yeah, I was just growing up singing in church, nothing professional, no professional background. I didn't have like a stage mom or none of that. I was just a regular kid around the way that could sing a little bit and rap. I've been rapping and singing since I was, you know, 7, 8 years old. So had the gift early, but nothing serious popped off until about age 15. I started working with my first manager named Marvin Thompson, who was really just a family friend. He was a friend. He was my friend's father, a little young homie I had around the way. His dad, he was like, yo, man, you should let my dad hear you sing. He knows some people in New York. He can take you to New York and maybe get you a record deal, you know? So I just like sang for him at the barbershop. It was like real impromptu, nothing fancy. And me and Marvin started rocking, and he started taking me to studio sessions, started taking me to, you know, putting me in talent competitions, taking me to open mic nights, those type of things, taking me to the Apollo. I sang at the Apollo like 4 or 5 times. Wow. And so we were just moving and grooving. And then we were going to record labels. We were trying to get me a deal. I was singing at record labels. I was going to a bunch of little singing auditions for record labels. And then we met an A&R guy at RCA Records named Vinny Ortiz, who discovered SWV. He discovered Pharrell and the Neptunes. And many, many others. And so Kenny liked me. Kenny wanted to work with me. And so he gave me like a demo deal budget of about like $2,500 just to go and like record some professional songs. Like
the demo deal. Demo, we love the demo deals.
So I was doing that. And while I was working with Kenny, I think between Marvin, Kenny, and another lady who was working with me named Bobby Humphrey, they heard about the auditions for Sister Act 2. Disney and Touchstone Films was looking for kids that could sing and dance to be a part of this ensemble cast in this choir for Sister Act 2.
Yeah.
And so if that was the first audition I ever went on in my life, like the first real professional audition. I never had any acting background or nothing.
Wow.
And so, yeah, I went to the audition, did my thing, got a callback. That one callback led to about 7 more callbacks. And then the last one was in L.A. for the producers and everybody, director and everybody. And, yeah, God bless me with the part. And so Sister Act 2 was my break into the industry on a like real professional level. So, you know, from singing, acting, and even from writing, because I got writing credit in the Joyful Joyful song. I wrote the rap part with it, like joyful, joyful.
Lord, yeah, yeah.
You know? Yeah, I wrote that part. So I've been getting publishing checks since 1993.
Amen.
Yeah, so that's pretty much, that was the start. That was the genesis. On a professional level.
It's funny you brought up that, because oh, happy day. So you remember when you got the email from me about 7 or 8 months ago, like out of the blue, we just reconnected. I didn't even know we were going to be doing all this stuff now. But reason why is because Sister Act 2 came on, and I'm just sitting on my couch at home, just laying back, watching Whoopi and watching, just like, man, this was one of those movies from my childhood. And then you came on. I was like, yo, where the heck is Ryan at? I got to hit him up. So I like went searching, looking on Instagram, came across your joint. I was like, yo, let me just send him an email. Why not? He might reply. So I'm headed to a showcase I got your email back. I was like, man, my man's still doing his thing. So yeah, that for me was big, man. That was one of the first movies that used to give me the goosebumps when I watched it. Like when your part singing, when Lauryn Hill, like all of the talent that was in that movie. Jennifer Love Hewitt was in that.
Tanya Blount was in that.
Like a lot of stars blossomed out of that, right? Yeah. And that was one of the movies that used to give me the chills when I watch it. Yeah. So bad. That's big. Okay, cool. So what would you say? That was your start. What would you say? My next question is your big break, like the thing that really took you to that next level. Like, okay, now I'm officially a superstar in my own right.
I think define superstar. What do you mean? I'm a superstar.
I mean, great question. I mean, a household name where you go out in public and people are like, I know who you are, or like, a person that, you know, a household name or someone that's easily recognizable when you go to get coffee and people are like, hey, I know you. Can I get your autograph? No matter what state you go to. That's what I would consider definition of a superstar.
I would have to say it was Sister Act 2, but not initially when the movie first debuted. When the movie first debuted, believe it or not, it was considered a box office flop because it paled in comparison to the numbers and the revenue that the first one did in the box office.
Gotcha.
But what happened was, over the years up in the 90s, we were then transitioning into movies, the home video and DVD sales and movies being played on TV, syndicated, coming on, you know, Lifetime Network every Christmas, coming on HBO every Thanksgiving, you know, coming on BET every Thanksgiving. Like when that started happening over the years, I'd say about 7 to 8 years, even 10 years, like throughout a 7-8 year, 10 year span after the movie, people was watching it at home every year. It was on.
Yep.
And so right after I did the movie, I just went back to high school. There was no big hoopla. There was no parade. There was no, like,
no parade.
It was nothing. I was still just Ryan, big head Ryan, you know, class clown. But then, like, I graduated high school. I did the movie when I was 16, but then graduated high school, and I, you know, now I'm outside, you know what I'm saying? I'm going clubbing, I'm doing that. I'm like 22, 23, 21, 22, 23. And people are like, yo, da-da-da. Girls are like, hey, you know what I'm saying? And so I'd have to say it was Sister Act was the break as far as making me recognizable in household, but like, 5, 6, 7 years after the fact, it was crazy.
That's amazing. When I met you, you were in a group called City High, and you guys came to play at Stockton State College, and my good friend and you know, one of my mentors, DJ Do It All, had me come out, and I actually introduced you guys on stage because I wanted to be an artist too at one point, so I took any chance I could to jump on stage. But at the moment when I met you guys were like, you had a couple of big hits. You had, What Would You Do?
And Caramel.
Caramel.
Yeah.
And I remember that. So like, what was that like being part of that group?
You know, so I had the Sister Act era and then moved into the City High era, which is a whole nother, I've had like 3 careers, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
With City High, that was great, man. It was me and 2 people from my hometown, from Willingboro, Robbie Parlow and Claudette Ortiz. And we Wyclef kind of like put us together between Wyclef, Jean, his cousin Jerry Wonder.
Shout out to Jerry.
Shout out to Jerry. They had a record label on Interscope called Booga Basement. And so they signed us, and between them and our management, we were all 3 solo artists. We were 3 solo artists. It was kind of like a making the band type situation. Mm-hmm. Take three solo artists, put them together, blow up the group. And then we were all supposed to have, you know, go solo.
Got it.
That was the plan. We put the group together. We started rocking, and we had some really, really great success. What Would You Do? was like the number two selling single in the country. We was killing it, man. And then Caramel came out, that did really well. And we rocked out for a minute, you know what I mean? Until, you know, the group broke up, obviously, because we were three solo artists. Like, so it was like everybody still wanted to do their own thing. But yeah, for a while, early 2000s, we were jamming. We was touring like crazy. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we were a tree with that.
I love that, man. I love that moment. All right, that was the first half of the interview with Ryan Toby. Stay tuned for the second half. In the meantime, we're going to get into some more music. We have Sarah Navaratnam with A Moment, Robbie Finnegan with Don't Want to Dance Alone, and Miles Marcus with Crazy. Stay tuned.
You know you could have told me that she was going to take away my pain and bring it back like that. Giving her my trust, she kept me safe from all the rage before I found her. Was no longer a threat to them when she made me look just like her friends, and I didn't see it in this moment. And I said, reach the end. Why she cried when I ran out of luxuries? It's crazy how much power she had over me. But in that very moment, no, she took
Is it wrong to stay together? And nothing lasts forever. Has to close another chapter with no happy ever after.
So man, this one is more so for the younger artist that's coming up that, you know, that probably face challenges and stuff. What would you say was, like, you know, one of your biggest challenges that you faced in your career, and how did you overcome it?
You know, the biggest challenge that I honestly still face to this day, to be honest, just to be fully transparent, doubting yourself.
Doubting.
Because, you know, the music industry is a roller coaster. You up, and then you down. And then you back up, and then you might be down.
Down,
and
yeah.
You might be back up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man.
And like, and just knowing how to navigate those waters when, you know, because when you're hot, you're hot, and everybody's on you, and everybody calling your phone, everybody, yo, everybody's your best friend, right?
Yeah.
But then if you go through maybe a cold spell, like, everybody has,
like, we all
do.
Yeah.
What artists you name, I don't care who they are, they don't stay sizzling hot forever.
No,
they may go through a time where they ain't got no hits, or the sound of the radio changed, or they can't keep up with the times, or whatever may happen, right? Somebody else comes out doing their style better than them, and they're younger and cuter and hotter, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So now the key to longevity, though, is knowing how to remember who you are, even when the world may be sleeping on you.
Wow.
That's the biggest challenge. Like, damn, am I still that dude? Do I still got it? Like, am I still nice with it? damn, yeah. I ain't had, you know, I might not have had no big number one hit in a minute, because the entertainment industry is a what have you done lately industry.
Absolutely.
What have you done lately? What you did 10 years ago, 5 years ago, even 2 years ago. Yeah. What have you done lately?
Yeah.
And so sometimes that could get overwhelming. Sometimes that could get challenging, and it could just have you stuck and have you feeling like, maybe I ain't it. No, maybe I ain't it. Maybe I'm not. Maybe I ain't got it no more. And all these other crazy thoughts that come to your head. But the way to overcome it, I would say, is through faith in yourself, man. You got to believe in yourself, and you got to know how to reinvent yourself.
That's right.
You got to know how to, like, flip the script. Maybe, you know what I'm saying, double back and come back with something new. And you got to constantly be in a state of evolution. Don't get stuck on what you did in the past.
Yes.
Do it. Do the music. Let it go, and then move on, and go on, move on to the next thing. Don't try to keep holding on to the past and holding on to what you did. And don't let people pigeonhole you to the past and to what you did.
Yes.
Always be in a constant state of evolution. That's the way you overcome, you know, that roller coaster road of the entertainment industry.
What a great answer, man. What a masterful answer that was, man. And inspiring too. I think a lot of people could love that. Awesome. But I want to double back, because I skipped over one question, which is big question. You've also had a part of your career where you went on to write for a lot of artists. You went on to do some songwriting. So tell us some of the artists that you have written songs for as a songwriter, as Ryan the songwriter.
Right. So yeah, so then there's that. That's like
part of my
third career. Back to my point of constantly evolving.
Mm-hmm.
I've written for Darius Rucker from Hootie and the Blowfish. I've written for David Hollister from Blackstreet. I've written for Will Smith. I've written for Mary J. Blige, Lionel Richie, Justin Bieber, Chris Brown, Usher, Hank, Tyrese, Genuine, A. Marie, Faith Evans. I said Mary J. Blige, right?
Yes, sir.
And,
but you can say her again, because she's incredible.
Yeah, Queen. Jill Scott, 112, New Edition. Everybody.
Man, that's amazing, man. Congratulations to have so many different, you know what I'm saying, peak moments in your career. So I was watching a bunch of content, and I saw shout out to Tank and Jay Valentine when you talked about your on the R&B Money show, and you talked about this one particular riff that actually started trending that you wrote on Superstar for Usher. Now, I'm sure everybody knows the riff, so I ain't going to bother you getting you to do it right now, unless you just want to, unless you feel like singing, not to be redundant.
I saw you hit it early. You got to hit it for him. Go ahead.
And that was not even close to how you and the singers do it. But that's a great riff.
Thank you.
Now I heard that, and I heard you, I'm quoting you, that you demoed the songs and Usher and probably a couple other singers like kind of interpolate the way you sing it, right? Because you put a lot of your own essence and flavor into your demos.
Yeah.
Do you feel that's like part of, like, as a songwriter, that's part of what makes it your magic, is like the way you deliver a demo, a reference song?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, and see, there's a sweet science to it, because you want to
add enough of your flavor and sauce to paint the
picture of the song that you're presenting to an artist.
Yeah.
But you don't want to add so much that the artist can't hear themselves singing it.
Got it.
And that's
something that was a fine line that I had to learn, because I'm a singer first. I'm a singer. So if I'm writing a song and then when I'm referencing it, I'm singing it because I can sing. Yeah. And I'm singing it the way I want to hear it. You know, I'm giving it the vocal textures and timbres and vibes that I want to hear the song.
Yeah.
How I wrote it. It's like singing how I wrote it, anime. Like, you know what I'm saying? So, but I had to learn, and I still, I don't want to say struggle with it. And I like to sing. It's fun. So it's like, sometimes I got to like, no, Ryan, dial it back. You want to make it so that if I present it to Bieber, Chris Brown, John Legend, Adam Levine, anybody, they can hear themselves oh yeah, I can sing. I'll kill that. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's like, don't oversing it.
Yeah.
But then, you know, I don't really believe in making demos. I make songs.
You make songs. Yeah,
make,
for sure.
I don't make demos.
I think we passed the demo. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I love that, man. So I also got a chance to listen to a lot of the music that you made during the pandemic, because you actually put out a whole series of albums. Let's talk to that for people who haven't heard it yet, because I want people to tune into those. Those albums are great, man. Talk a little bit about that. It's a bonus question. But yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, man. Thank you. So during the pandemic, we were all on lockdown, and I'm sitting in the crib thinking that the world was coming to an end. And I just was like, well, if the world is coming to an end, you know what I mean? And let me start releasing everything I got just to get it out of me. Cause you know, who knows what's about to happen, right? We were all on lockdown. They shut down air travel. It was getting kind of bleak.
Yeah, man, it was.
So I put out an album called Songs for the Lockdown. And I just called it Songs for the Lockdown Volume 1. And then that next week, I put it out on a Friday. That next week, I was like, because I had more songs and I was cooking up more songs. So I was like, what if I put out another one this Friday, just on some like run it back on, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I put out another one on that following Friday. And then people started DMing me like, I bet you can't do three. And I was like, I was like, oh yeah, you know what I mean? Want to bet? So then I dropped three and then four. And then, so yeah, I put out an album every week for 10 weeks in a row.
That's amazing.
And just called it Songs for the Lockdown, volumes 1-10. Yeah, it's streaming everywhere. You can check that out. It's on all platforms. So yeah.
That's amazing.
It's like 80 records. I put out like 80 records.
That's
in like
amazing.
2 months.
Wow. Yeah. Now that's work. See, that's the kind of work ethic I tell people that I mentor, and I tell people like you got to be in there doing the work, putting the records together. Even if you mean put a demo, reference it down or whatever it is, get it, you know, get your catalog up, start making records, because there are people who are outworking you right now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Less talented.
Thank you. I always say that, bro. I always be like, look, there's people that don't have the singing ability that you might have, but they got that drive. It's something that you can't really teach. It's like something that's innate. And some people, they just have that tenacity, that ferocity to just go out and like break down doors and walls to get to their dream. And they might not have the same singing, but that don't matter. It's about who's going to be disciplined and consistent and work hard for it. So you're living proof for that, man. That's beautiful.
Thank you,
my brother. All right. So my final question. So what's next for you for this year and going forward? And what's next?
Wow. So, right now, well, I'm in Colombia. I'm in Medellin, Colombia right now.
Amazing.
I've been here for like 2 months. I'll probably stay. Well, I'm going to stay till the end of the month, and then I'm going to go to Thailand, and I'm going to spend some time in Southeast Asia and just like travel to Bali and Cambodia, Vietnam, Philippines. Right now I'm just on my like soul searching sabbatical. Once again, reinvention. You got to know how to reinvent. And so, I want to hear new sounds. I want to smell new air. I want to taste new foods. I want to hear different music, different languages. I want to be inspired by different culture. So right now I'm just like traveling. I got my microphone. I got my laptop. You know what I mean? So I'm cooking up. I'm always cooking up everywhere I go. But yeah, I'm just kind of like traveling around and just soaking in the world right now.
That's beautiful, brother. Well, much, much more blessings and more power to you with that. And,
Thank you, sir.
I look forward to getting one on the charts with you too.
Yeah.
And, I got that record.
I think I have two songs on Usher's new album that's coming out February 9th. So check out Usher's new album.
Okay. We're going to check for that. Usher's new record.
Yeah.
And that record that you gave me called We Are, that one's coming, bro. It's on my desktop. Like I said.
Oh, you know, I think Marcus Houston is recording that right now.
Seriously?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Did you finalize the production? Because
no, I'm still waiting for you to get.
Okay. I'm not playing. I know you call me Captain America. Y'all laugh so.
Yo, the cap is real with you,
Roy. No, bro. I'm just.
Crunch. Thanks, man.
No, it's not like that, bro. You know, I got you. I just want to make sure my plate is clear when I open up your file. I mean, this is a whole nother level.
Okay. You know, okay. Say less. Say less.
There you go. Well, my brother, I appreciate you, man. God bless. Thank you for coming to us on. Man, that was an amazing interview. Thanks, Ryan, for joining us. We're going to play one of your brand new songs called Your Body featuring Chaz Marcus. Then we got Danny with Down to the River, Sienna Sky with A Little Bit More, and closing the show with Miss Tiara Jade with Do You Know. Take care, good night, and God bless. And let that music out.
Shit we fought about last night. Nah, you know how to hold on the grass, don't ya? When you want to. And that's one thing I can't stand about ya. Not when all I wanna do is see you behind the door. In your birthday suit, all over my condo. Mucho dinero, mucho dinero. I wanna rain on your pretty ass, but you acting like a handful. Say what you want to me. Baby, right now, I'm whatever you calling me. Yeah, whatever you say, shawty, you can put it all on me. Put it all on me. Just don't keep your love from me. The love I need. Don't keep your body from me. Don't keep your body from me. Don't keep your body from me. Don't cut me off like you don't love me. Don't keep your body from me. Don't keep your body from me. Don't keep your body from me.
Don't you be trying to keep that ass from me. Like I don't keep 20 cash on me. Like you don't hit me with the money bag emoji. Bust down blue face rollie. Your boyfriend run up on me like he know me. Chanel belt with the 40 tuck. And fuck your boyfriend with a damn fuck. Now we ain't pulling off in a land truck. Like I don't keep your face down ass up.
In your birthday suit, all over my condo. Mucho dinero, mucho dinero. I wanna rain on your pretty ass, but you acting like a handful. And you calling me the asshole. Say what you want to me. Baby, right now, I'm whatever you calling me. Yeah, whatever you say, shawty, you can put it all on me. Put it all on me. Just don't keep your love. Body from me. Don't keep your body from me. Don't cut me off like you don't love me. Don't keep your body from me. Don't keep your body from me. Don't keep your body from me.
go down to the river. You gotta go down to the river. My fears have now drowned from the curbing within, oh, within my soul. River, you gotta go down to the river. My fears have now drowned from the curving thin within my soul. A little more action, a little more soul, satisfaction, a little bit more.
Paradise, a fingertip away. Oh, gentle lies. Help CFRC serve our community listeners. Have your voice heard and share your thoughts through our online listenership survey. Visit CFRC.ca, click on the link, and take the 3 to 4 minute survey. All participants can enter for a chance to win great prizes from Smokes Poutinerie and Uber Eats. Your voice matters. Make it heard by taking the CFRC listenership survey today via CFRC.ca. Thank you for your support. Coming up now on this week's Release Radar, in partnership with the Kingston Music Office, we're pleased to present a new single from Savannah Shea. Dropped on November 8th, A Living Dream is the lead single for her upcoming 3 albums. A Living Dream draws inspiration from a mantra that Savannah's grandmother has held throughout her life: I have a dream life. Initially interpreted as a reflection on a beautiful life, this phrase transformed after her passing into a powerful mantra of manifestation for Savannah. Now, I have a dream life serves as both a reminder of gratitude for what's being created and a source of encouragement during challenging times. A Living Dream delves into the blurred line between dreams and reality, exploring themes of heartbreak, love, and a search for meaning. A Living Dream features the titles of every track across 3 albums that will be released by Savannah Shea on November 15th. Want to be highlighted next time? Complete the Release Radar submission form on the Kingston Music Office website or via visitkingston.music on Instagram. In the meantime, stream A Living Dream by Savannah Shea now on your favorite platforms and enjoy it here with us now on CFRC 101.9 FM.
I wanna go to the cinnamon and